Wonderful. Thank you very much, Lyle, and a very warm welcome to you, especially if you're visiting here tonight and staying with friends or family, or you just popped in. Really good to be with you. Obviously, lots of regulars away. Just a couple of things I wanted to say, which have got nothing to do with what we're about to think about. First is you'll see in the notice sheet that we're having a little New Year's Eve party at our house tonight. Everyone, very welcome. If you've got no plans, come on down. Our boys were making desserts yesterday. I don't know if that's a positive thing or not. But anyway, desserts there. We've got other things as well. It'd be lovely to have you, and the address is in the sheet. So feel free to come after the service. Second thing I wanted to say is that, as you know, if you're a regular here, Tim Capel does a wonderful, outstanding job of leading this congregation and works very hard in doing so. He makes it, obviously, he makes it look effortless, you know, urbane and smooth and sort of very good at doing it. But, of course, we know that's not totally true and that a huge amount of effort goes in. And I know, and you will know as well, that that's only possible because of his family who are so supportive. And it's lovely to have Melody and the kids who are here tonight. And they don't often come because they normally go to the 4 o'clock. So I thought this is an opportunity for us to just acknowledge Melody and Tim and Melody's children as well for their total support. I do want to say a huge thank you to you for all you give. I know you give a lot to the 4 o'clock and in other ways as well. Now, it's become something of a tradition on the last Sunday of the year to, rather than have a sort of a new sermon or whatever, to repeat what we did in the morning, which is always an all-age service. In other words, a kid's talk. And so, yes, lucky people, you are the ones to get a kid's talk, which is why I've got my props. Here we go. This is where it gets fun. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Okay. The theme this year, as we've been reminded tonight, is living by the word, living by the word of God. And my question for us tonight is, how do you keep going living by the word? How do you keep going day after day, month after month, year after year? Because when we get to the end of our lives, the only question that we and God will be interested in is, are we still following Jesus Christ? It won't be of much interest to him or to us how many cars we owned in this life or how many different holiday destinations we visited or such like. The only thing that will matter is, are we a follower of Jesus Christ? And that's really what we're thinking about tonight. How do we continue in that? Now, of course, you can only continue in something that you've actually started. So first question is, what does it mean to start the Christian life? And that little verse that we had read to us before, verses, can we get that up on the screen? Colossians 2, there we are, 6 and 7, says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, when it comes to the start of the Christian life, there it is at the beginning of the verse. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. At the heart of the Christian message is the gospel diamond. There it is coming up on the screen. Next one. And the gospel diamond is Jesus Christ as Lord. And to become a Christian means to have Jesus as your Lord. It means saying, no longer am I the king of my life, am I the boss of my life, am I setting the standards for my life. From now on, I'm living under Jesus. You see, for non-Christians, it's not that non-Christians don't have standards. They may have standards. They may have high standards. You might be here tonight as someone who's not yet a Christian, and you have very high standards. You'd be offended if anyone thought otherwise. The difference is that you're the one setting the standard. Whereas when a person becomes a Christian, they say, actually, it's not up to me anymore to set the standard. I'm living under Jesus Christ, whatever he calls for in my life. And you see the lordship of Christ throughout his, well, you see it in his life, in the way that he has control over the elements. You see it in his death, in the way that he was able to conquer our sins. You see it in his resurrection, the way he was able to conquer death and burst out of the grave. And we'll see it when he returns in judgment. The lordship of Christ is everywhere. So to become a Christian means to accept the lordship of Christ in your own life. And there's a logic for that, which is God has made Jesus Lord over this world. So it's natural for us, or it should be a logical step for us, to make him Lord over our lives. Now, that's how to make the start in the Christian life. And if you're not here as a Christian yet this evening, we need to be really clear on that. You don't become a Christian by having a Christian mum or dad. You can't hide behind someone else on the day when we meet God. Don't become a Christian just by coming to church. Don't become a Christian by sort of bowing your head when someone else prays. Become a Christian by having Jesus as our Lord, submitting to him personally. Okay, now what we're looking at tonight is, yeah, but how do you keep going as a Christian? And that wonderful verse, or two verses, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, tell us four ways in which we're to keep going. Okay, first of all, here it is up on the screen, continue to live in Jesus. To be a Christian means to be in Christ, to have our faith in Christ. To continue as a Christian means to continue to live in Christ. 180 times in the New Testament, Christians are described as those who are being in Christ. And I'll tell you why. In Jesus is every single blessing. Jesus is the key to get into heaven. If you want to be in heaven, you have to know Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings us forgiveness with God. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God. Jesus is the one who gives us peace with God in the present and hope to be with God for the future. In Jesus is every blessing. Therefore, you have to continue in Jesus. Now, I've got my little illustration. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're pretty sophisticated here. Now, if I hold that up, can you see that, Cam Gracie? You got that? It's a plane. Okay, here we are, sailing through the sky. Now, if you want to get from destination A to destination B, done that way, isn't it? It's not enough to know that there's a plane that's taking off from A and going to B. I mean, it's a good start, but that won't get you to B. You've got to actually get onto the plane. You've got to buy your ticket. You've got to get to the airport. You miss the flight, you're not going to be there. Okay, so you've got to get like that in the plane. And then you've got to remain in the plane. If you get out halfway, no good. You don't get to the destination. So you've got to get in the plane, you've got to remain in the plane, and then when the plane gets to the destination, you get to the destination, but you only got there because you were in the plane that got there. Now, not wanting to condense this too much, Jesus is the plane. You see what I did there? Yeah? Jesus is the plane. You become a Christian when you put your faith in Jesus, and at that moment, you are in him. Yeah. And he is taking us to heaven. But you will only get there if you remain in him. So our big task is to remain in Christ. And if you do remain in Christ, you will receive every blessing in the life of the world to come as well as in this life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's so simple. We have to continue in him. And the point is that in the Christian life, you can make an awful lot of mistakes. And in fact, you can make some really big mistakes and some mistakes that other people would write us off for. And the wonderful thing is that God won't write us off. He'll forgive us in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That you cannot do anything that is so bad you won't be forgiven for it. Except one thing. The one thing you cannot do, the one thing that is unforgivable, is to leave Jesus. Because if you do, you're cutting yourself off from the source of forgiveness. That's why. In other words, the thing you can't do is leave the plane. If you're like this man up on the screen, you know, you'd say he's in trouble, isn't he? He is not going to get to the destination. You've got to remain in the plane, remain in Jesus. How do you do that? We need to learn more of Jesus. Appetites growing. We need to grow in love for Jesus. Because it's not about a textbook, it's not just knowing more of the word. We need to actually grow in love so that we want to remain in him. And we need to grow in obedience so that we apply what we learn. Now, all the time, there are certain things that are threatening that a little bit. There are things that we find more difficult in life. And I want to ask you the question, and I'm going to ask you to take 20 seconds on this in a moment to think about it. What is most likely to cause you to stop being in Jesus in this year ahead? What's most likely to cause you to fall out of the plane? Is it disenchantment? Is it discontent? Is it guilt? Is it frustration? Is it disobedience? Is it boredom? Monotony in the Christian life? What is it that is most likely to cause you to stop following Jesus? Okay? Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to do this a couple of times, get out the little sheet. There is a tear-off slip, but I'm not asking you to write it on the tear-off slip. You write it on the bit you can keep, okay? So no one else has to see this bit. I want you to write down your biggest threat. Where is the devil most likely to get at you in the year ahead to cause you to fall out of the plane and stop following Jesus? And I'll give you 20 seconds to think about that and write that down. Okay, so that's the first way to keep following Jesus, is continue in him. Second way, as the verse says, be rooted and built up in Jesus. Now, those two parts, to be rooted and built up, they're actually the same thing in opposite direction. To be rooted means to put down roots deep into Jesus. To be built up means to be built up in Jesus. It means growing in Jesus, okay? And we've had the plane. What we need now is the plant, okay? Now, I'm going to need someone to come up here and help me out, and we literally need a volunteer, okay? So this is not rhetorical. Is someone gesturing? You're each pointing at each other. Is that right? Would one of you mind coming up here? Give them a clap. Christo, can I have the microphone? Give us the microphone. Come up here, buddy. Well done. What's your name?
Michael,
well done. How old are you, Michael?
7.
Good. Now, are you feeling strong?
Yes.
Good, because I've got a strength challenge for you. Sorry, it's quite tall, this table, but I've got a plant here. This is my plant. What I want you to do is to see, can you knock it over? Do you reckon you can? He's knocked it over. Give him a clap. Well done. You can have a seat. No, actually, Michael, come back. I've got another challenge for you. Do you reckon you could knock another little plant over?
Yes.
This one on the screen. Now, if you were standing next to that, would you be able to knock it over?
No,
partly because it's a big tree, but also, what else can you see that would make it hard to knock over?
The roots.
The roots, well done. It's got massive roots that go down deep, hasn't it? Now you can have a seat. Go on, well done. Give it a clap. Massive roots that go down deep. Now, I don't know if you're ever out and about and you see a tree that has fallen over. And the reason is, I assume, that the roots actually didn't go down deep enough. You may have thought they were deep. They weren't deep enough. Now, oh Christian person, we are a little plant. The question is, how deep is our roots? Because if they are that deep, we are going to get blown over and give up the Christian life. But if you've got deep roots in Christ, it will help you and secure you when the winds are strong against us. And the winds can be strong against us. The devil is always out to get us. Jesus told a parable about that. He said that Satan wants to take the seed away from us. Jesus talked about how anxieties in life can take us away from Jesus. They can blow pretty hard against us because they help us to focus on our problems and they take our eyes off Jesus. Deceitfulness of wealth can be another sort of cross current that blows against us when we become discontent with where we are in life. And what we need to do is put down roots deeper into Jesus. Okay? That's the aim. Now, the other picture is very similar to that. If we got the picture of the building, there it is. I was looking for a structure. And I'm tempted to ask, is there a structural engineer in the house? Is there a structural engineer in the house? Whoa, there we are. Now, is that Josh? It is. Josh, just come forward here. You don't have to come up on the stage. Now, I don't have a lot of information here to go on asking my questions, but if the building company, well, someone has put that thing in the ground. Now, if the builders then come along and build their building 10 metres to the right, what's going to happen to the building?
It's probably going to sink into the ground a wee bit because it does not have a footing.
And when a little earthquake comes,
it's probably going to fall over.
I was really hoping you were going to say that. Well done. Otherwise, it wasn't going to work then as an illustration. Thank you, Josh. Now, some people try and live the Christian life without putting any effort in, without purposely trying to go deeper into Christ or be built up in Christ. And anything we do in life, in the end, you have to put some effort in. I mean, if you're going to get good at anything, if you're going to advance in a sport, you're going to advance in music, you have to put effort in, you have to put practice in, you have to actually hear, which you have to put some effort into growing in Christ. Now, we've heard a bit from others, and Tim Capel, I wonder if you can come just here. You just stay down here, take the microphone. And I thought on the last Sunday of the year, because during the year, you ask about 2,000 questions of other people. I thought I could ask a question of you, which is, in your own life, what have you done to put down roots deeper into Jesus or be built up in Jesus? What's been helpful?
Well, it's nothing new under the sun, and certainly spending time in God's Word has definitely been the thing that's grown me most as a Christian. And one of the joys, I think, of Christian ministry is actually you get paid to do that. So praise the Lord. And that's certainly been something that's helped me. I think another thing that I find really helpful personally is reminding myself as often as possible of eternity and what's at stake in following Jesus or not, and remembering that heaven and hell depend on it both for myself and for others. And doing that then motivates me to serve. And to serve the gospel, to serve God's people, and to serve the kingdom helps me to continue in Christ because it gives this kind of urgency and sense of purpose to life. So in the Word, eyes on eternity and serving Jesus.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. All very helpful. And the point is that you have to consciously do this because if you don't, you can find yourself knocked sideways by cross currents. Something disappointing that happens. We feel a little bit let down by someone, or perhaps we felt that God owed us something when he really didn't, etc., etc. And so you have to consciously grow in Christ so that we're rooted in Christ and not buffeted, knocked over by the cross currents that come to us. Okay, that's the second way. Continue to live in him. Secondly, rooted and built up in him. The third one's on the screen, strengthened in the faith. Now, what this means is growing in our convictions so that you are strengthened in the faith. At which point, I want to take you back a week to Christmas Day and just hear from people your favourite food. What was the best thing? The best thing that you ate on Christmas Day? Let's hear it. One thing?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Brilliant.
Turkey.
Thank you. Turkey.
Lamb.
Was that ham? Lamb and ham? Anything else?
Too much.
Of course, too much. And we were. The point is that we were strengthened by it all. At least we would be if we went to the gym to counteract it. Because that's what food does. Now you say, well, I don't feel strengthened by Christmas dinner. But, of course, if you didn't eat for a couple of months, then you'd see what we're talking about. Food strengthens us. It helps us to live daily life. And what we need in the Christian life is to be strengthened in our faith. And we've talked about that tonight. We've heard those excellent comments from the people who are up the front about growing in the Word and growing in knowledge of the Lord through the Word. And that strengthens us because the Bible is our food. It gives us the energy that we need. It gives us the strength that we need. It helps us. And I think one of the interesting things is that if you look back over your life and I ask you the question, how many meals can you remember? You'll remember a few, but it's surprising actually how few we can remember compared to the number of meals that we've had. One or two will stand out, special occasion or one, two Christmases or whatever they are. But actually most meals we don't. However, did that food strengthen you along the way that you had? Of course it did. It's the meals that you can't remember that you've had that have actually kept you living. And much of what these guys were saying at the front was, although they benefit daily from the Word, they can't always remember everything that they hear. Of course not. If I say, how many sermons can you remember in your life? Well, there's a few. There's a few that will stand out, one or two, for different reasons will stand out. But the point is that as you hear the Word of God week in, week out, as we read it for ourselves day in, day out, as we hear sermons, it all strengthens us in the faith. The Word of God gives us that strength, even though you can only actually remember a limited amount on it. Pity we can't remember it all, but that's the way of life, you see? So we're strengthened in the faith as we were taught. Not new things, but as we were taught. That's what Paul is saying to the Colossians. So stick with the Bible and go deeper into it in the year ahead. Okay, continue to live in him. Don't fall out of the plane. Rooted and built up in him. Put your back into it, put some roots down so we're not blown over. Strengthened in the faith as we're taught, as we were taught. And then lastly, overflowing with thankfulness. Now, thankfulness is important in the Christian life because it reminds us of what God is like. Thankfulness reminds us that God is good and that what he gives us in life is good. Thankfulness helps us to grow in contentment, and thankfulness helps us to grow in effectiveness, and I'll show you how. Okay. You imagine a really hot day. You don't have to imagine because we just had one today, okay? And there you are, you've been out in the sun, you had an hour out in the sun, and you are really thirsty. And you said to someone, would you mind just getting me a drink? And they said, okay, I'll get you a drink. And they got a glass, like this, empty glass, and they said, I'll get you a drink. And they poured you a tiny little drop of water. Now, you'd say, give me that water. And you drink it and you say it was good, but it was only a drop. And some Christians are like that. When it comes to thankfulness, they're thankful to God, but it's a drop. They'll say the odd thanks before a meal, but it's just a drop compared to what God has really done for us and what he's given us. And Paul says, be overflowing with thankfulness. Be the kind of Christian that is just overflowing as you think about all that God has given to you and all that God has done for you and all that God is doing in you and all that God is doing around you. Be overflowing with thankfulness. And that will increase our contentment in Christ because we'll remember how good God is. instead of being taken up with how life hasn't worked out, with how we wish it did, instead of thinking that somehow we knew better than God and he should have written a script according to how we would have written it, instead of that, we're reminded how good God has been, how every single thing God has worked for our good as well as for his glory. When we're thankful to him, that means, thankful isn't an attitude, it means actually thanking him. It means thanking him for what he's given to us and what he's doing in us and has done for us. And you and I, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, frankly, you turn on the news and you see what's happening in different parts of the world and you see the privileges that we have here. To say nothing of the privileges simply of being a Christian. The fact that we've had our sins forgiven, the fact that God is our Father, Jesus is our elder brother, other Christians are our brothers and sisters, the fact we're one day closer to heaven than we were yesterday, and the fact, I think this is wonderful as a Christian, our best days are always ahead. No matter how old you are, the best days are yet to come. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, it'll increase our contentment, but it will also increase our effectiveness. You ever look at this overflowing fountain up on the screen in a parched piece of land? And what you and I need to remember is this country is parched spiritually. But if you're the kind of Christian who overflows with thankfulness, you become a very attractive person to those around. We actually have something to offer those around. People will be more interested in what we believe, in what we think. And I think gratitude and thankfulness is one of the most easy ways and most obvious ways that we can stand out. It's very hard for non-Christians to be thankful because they don't have anyone to thank, or they don't know who to thank. But if we're Christians, we do know who to thank, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us all things. And it's a great way to grow in the Christian life, and I commend it to you. So there we are, four ways to keep going as Christians. One, to continue to live in Christ. Secondly, to be rooted and built up in Christ. Thirdly, to be strengthened in the faith in Christ. And fourthly, to overflow with thankfulness because of what God has done for us in Christ. And if that's all too much, you might want to take one of those and hold on to it and try and go into the new year with one of those. I wonder which one you would pick. But you'll notice the common denominator to all four is Jesus. Continue in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith about him, and overflowing with thankfulness because of him. You keep Jesus at the center, and you will keep going as a Christian. Do we say a prayer? We'll say a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love towards us, and we thank you for everything you've given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, we pray, would you help us to continue to live in him in this year ahead. Help us, we pray, to be strengthened in him. Help us to be rooted and built up in him. Help us to be overflowing with thankfulness for him. And if there are any here who don't yet know the Lord Jesus for themselves, we do ask that you would help them to come to a saving knowledge of him. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen.